both feels like yesterday and a very, very long time ago when I could fit everything that I thought I needed into the back of my car. Right? How many can relate to that? Yep. My guitar, my sleeping bag, a few cassette tapes, and I have to confess that when I was really out on the road, it was really 8 tracks. Right? All right. In the early days. And just a couple of changes of clothes, and that was really all I needed. And maybe $5 for gas. I could get from Missouri to Michigan on $5 worth of gas. I spent a lot of time on the road in my 20s. I guess you could say that I had and probably do still have a pilgrim's heart. I carried at that time my home with me. I felt kind of like a turtle moving from place to place for jobs and visiting friends with my home on my back. Home is where I was with whom I was with. It took me a while to settle into my first apartment. I was in my first serious relationship and we wanted to make a home together. It was then that I began to accumulate stuff. Furniture, dishes, towels, all the things that you need to furnish a home. And then my family started to give us things. A lot of stuff that my grandparents couldn't use anymore, having downsized when they moved into assisted living. Bedroom sets, dining room sets, big stuff that was really hard to move. Mahogany desks, big, heavy stuff. And it actually meant a lot to me to get these heirlooms from my family. I could remember sleeping in the beds at my grandmother's house. I could remember eating at the table. It meant a lot to me to be able to carry these things with me as a legacy. And then I got into auctions, which was very dangerous. And I was a sucker for primitive furniture, which is also very big and very heavy. And by then, we had moved into out of our apartment and into our first house. By the time we moved to Massachusetts, we needed to hire a moving van to get all of our stuff out here to the East Coast. I remember it was such a big production. We had just had a major snowstorm. This was in Boylston, Mass., down near Worcester. We had a major snowstorm, and we had found a place living with another couple in a house, a really nice house in the sort of off a country road with a winding driveway, kind of went up a hill. And we were so afraid the van couldn't get up the narrow winding driveway in the ice and snow. What would we have done? We made it, but oh my God, there was so much stuff. We had a lot of things. Luckily, the people we moved in with had just bought the house, so they didn't have any furniture, so they were really quite grateful that we could furnish their home with our things. But I was beginning to feel a little weighted down, even at that time, by all of this big, heavy stuff. Sister Macrina Weideker writes, "I stand on the edge of myself and wonder, where is home? Oh, where is the place where beauty will last? Where will I be safe? And when? My tourist heart is wearing me out. I'm so tired of seeking for treasures that tarnish. How much longer? Which way is home? My luggage is heavy. It's weighing me down. And I am hungry for the holy ground of home." And I guess I've been feeling kind of that way ever since. That being encumbered by all of these things in some way keeps me from experiencing life to its fullest. There are times when I think the more that we fill up our space and our lives with treasures that tarnish, the further we can drift away from this idea of the holy ground of home. Home isn't what we accumulate. It's not what tethers us to our possessions. All that we have to do to get them, to keep them, to manage them, to maintain them, leaves us with the feeling that we're sometimes living in service to our stuff, rather than our stuff being things that serve us, right? Truly, home is what connects us to each other and to the larger cycles and seasons of life. If we're stuck taking care of all that stuff, we can't really connect with life writ large. Do you ever feel like you need to make more room for this holy ground of home? When I was reading through Mary Oliver poems for the service, celebrating her life and work a couple of weeks ago, I came across this little gem simply called Storage. Storage by Mary Oliver. When I moved from one house to another, there were many things that I had no room for. What does one do? I rented a storage space and filled it. Years passed. Occasionally I went there and looked in, but nothing happened. Not a single twinge of the heart. As I grew older, the things I cared about grew fewer, but were more important. So one day, I undid the lock and called the trash man, and he took everything. I felt like a little donkey when his burden is finally lifted. Things, burn them, make a beautiful fire. More room in your heart for love, for the trees, for the birds, who own nothing, the reason they can fly. How about that? Okay, so I had to rent a storage space for over a year when Kate and I first moved in together. It was quite a process consolidating two complete households into one. And at first I felt very attached to the things in the storage unit. I'd pour through the boxes looking for these little sacred objects that I simply had to have with me to feel like it was my home, right? But over time, like Mary Oliver, I visited less frequently, and I too cared about fewer things, more important things, and all that stuff began to feel more like a burden than treasured possessions. Luckily, I had moved on. Thankfully, I had moved on. I was making room in my heart and in our home for something new, new connections. I felt connected to love in a new way and to life in a more expansive way. I felt at home in that broad sense of connection kind of way. And I did finally call the trash man, who agreed to buy everything lock, stock, and barrel for my storage unit. And I watched him carry all the family heirlooms and all the antiques I had purchased at auction. And I'm thinking, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And there it all went. All of it gone. And when that storage unit was empty and I turned that key back in, I truly felt untethered. That sense of freedom to fly into my new life. There's a sense of expansiveness when we let go of what's weighing us down and make room for life. And it's not just about material possessions. I may be talking about physical, tangible things, but there are lots of things that weigh us down, right? I've been fascinated, truly fascinated, by the tidying phenomenon that seems to be sweeping the nation. How many of you have seen Tidying Up, any of the series on Netflix? Well, it's really, really interesting. Marie Kondo is a Japanese woman who speaks very little English. She's a best-selling author and the star of a Netflix series called Tidying Up. She goes into people's homes to help them look at their relationship with their things, to honor those things that spark joy by organizing them with care, giving them a place of honor in the home, and by letting go of the things that don't spark joy, thanking them first for their service. The idea of decluttering is one thing I've always been a big fan of, but the idea of looking at every object in your home with an eye to what has meaning and what doesn't, that's the piece I find really intriguing. It says something about our relationship with objects that's seems a little different from our cultural way of looking at objects as accumulating possessions, because we think what we have will make us happy, right? In our culture, our consumer culture, we're kind of conditioned to think, oh, if I have this, I'll be happy. Oh, if I have that, I'll be happy. So we have a tendency to think that we want and need things to make us happy. But my first reaction to Tidying Up was a bit skeptical. I said, things don't spark joy in my mind. They're just things, right? This is just another way to reinforce consumerism, I thought, in my most cynical moment. And Kondo has been criticized widely at the other end of the spectrum, saying she's encouraging people to get rid of things like books that are inherently meaningful. Intellectuals out there are thinking she's telling people they can only keep 20 books or 30 books when they might have whole rooms, whole houses full of books. People are feeling very threatened by this, obviously. But our possessions aren't the enemy in all of this. It's the reflex to fill our lives with stuff in search of happiness, in search of home, that's being called into question. Now, after watching several episodes of Tidying Up, I've become a convert, actually. I've watched the transformation as people go through this process of becoming really intentional about what objects they choose to keep and how they relate to and treat those objects. They actually spend time with them and appreciate them and organize them as opposed to just having piles of them. As I watch Marie Kondo kneel in gratitude for the home at the beginning of each episode, I began to be curious about where she was actually coming from. It seemed like there was a deeper place that she was coming from. And then I read an article written by Margaret Dellaway, an Asian American whose mother is Japanese and practices Shintoism. Now, I don't know if how many of you are familiar with Shintoism. Dellaway says her mother taught her about the kami. They're the Shinto spirits that are present everywhere. They're in us, in humans, in nature, and they're even in inanimate objects. Even in inanimate objects. She writes, "At an early age, I understood this to mean that all creations are miracles of a sort. I could consider the spatula used to cook my eggs with the wonder and mindful appreciation you'd afford a sculpture. Someone had to invent it. Many human hands and earthly resources helped get it to me, and now I use it every day." According to Shinto animism, some inanimate objects could gain a soul after 100 years of service. A concept known as Tsukomogami. So it felt natural to acknowledge them, to express my gratitude. How often do we express gratitude for our things, our clothes that keep us warm, our cars that get us from place to place? All of the things that we just kind of go through the motions of having, but don't really appreciate the full extent, the person that created them, right? Probably more than one person, how far they may have traveled to get to you, what resources were taken to get it to you, to make it. All of the things that go into every single object that we have. And there are objects in my life that do spark joy. And the first thing that came to mind when I was thinking about this was my guitar. Now, I don't have the old guitar that I carried around with me in the back of my car anymore. But the guitar that I have now is imbued with over 50 years worth of memories and meaningful experiences. Every time I pull it out to play, I think about the first time I played for a campfire at camp when I was 10 years old. It all comes with me. And I'm really telling my age a lot in this reflection this morning. But one of my favorite singer-songwriters is John Denver. And he wrote this song called "This Old Guitar." And one of the verses really speaks to me about this. He writes, "This old guitar taught me to sing a love song. It taught me how to laugh and how to cry. It introduced me to some friends of mine and brightened up some days. And it helped me make it through some cold and lonely nights. What a friend to have on a cold and lonely night." Boy, can I relate to all of that. Music has always been, my guitar has always been an entree for me into relationships in a way to share emotions that I did not know how to articulate. And so I understand this idea of kami, the spirit in my guitar, definitely sparks joy in me. The problem is, I think, that there are a lot of things in our lives that don't spark joy. And they're like the deadwood that fill our closets and weigh us down. They keep us from being able to make more room for life. lightening our load can help us make room for life, both literally and figuratively. It can help free us to take the open road so we can experience life's larger rhythms. Macrina Weideker concludes, "There is a road that runs straight through your heart. Walk that road. To be a pilgrim means to be on the move, slowly, to notice your luggage becoming lighter, to be seeking for treasures that do not rust, to be comfortable with your heart's questions, to be moving towards the holy ground of home with empty hands and bare feet." With spring just around the corner, 'tis the season to do a little tidying up. I invite you to look at your relationships, your relationship with things. Ask yourself what it is that's filling your life to overflowing. If there are things that spark joy for you, organize them and give them a place of honor. Spend time with them. Appreciate the kami in them. Ask yourself what it is that's filling your life to overflowing. If it doesn't spark joy, let it go. Make more room for possibility. Make more room for life. May it be so. Blessed be, and amen. It's the practice in